Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, the show for profitable insights and tips with business owners, entrepreneurs, and CEOs who use their nonfiction book to create the ultimate competitive advantage and grow their business. Here's your host, Amazon best-selling author and book publishing coach, Mike Capuzzi.
Welcome to another profitable episode of the Author Factor Podcast. I'm Mike Capuzzi, and I want to thank you for joining us. My guest today is Pauline Wiles. Pauline is an author-turned-website designer who helps other authors and thought leaders create beautiful, results-oriented websites. I invited her to be a guest today so that she can share some of her best tips and ideas for authors and their websites. Pauline, welcome to the Author Factor Podcast.
Hello, Mike. Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, and I don't want to dismiss you are a book author. It just so happens that your book is on a topic that we're not going to focus on today. You are an author, and congratulations with that. So, Pauline, I just barely touched on what you do and how you serve your clients, but if you would, give us a little bit more detail, actually a little bit of your background, and then you know what you're doing today and how you serve your clients.
Yeah, so I'm an indie author turned website designer. I wrote 5 novels before I figured out that I actually enjoyed updating my author website way more than I did working on the books. And in meeting other writers and authors, I discovered that most of them are completely overwhelmed with what it takes to market a book and particularly the technology behind that. So I started giving advice on email marketing and author websites to other authors. And now, I'm a full-time website designer and I work primarily with authors, speakers, and consultants.
Very good. So I did not know, I saw your one book, I did not know you wrote, so you were in fiction and nonfiction, is that right?
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. So just before we digress, because I don't talk to too many fiction book authors, mainly because we're a nonfiction podcast. But tell me a little bit more, like what genre or
the fiction is very light romantic comedy. I have a British accent, but I now live in California. And I think when I first moved to California, I was a little bit homesick. And to be honest, I started writing romantic comedy set in a fictional English village. I think it was my form of therapy for processing that homesickness. And one book turned into a series of books. And then we've talked about what happened next.
Wow. So was it just, I mean, to me, being a multi nonfiction book author, I still have this dream of writing fiction. I know it's a whole other game. I know it's a challenge. But the thought and the dream of writing one book every other year and making enough money that you don't have to do anything else is kind of, but is that not reality?
I don't think it's the reality for most fiction authors. And in fact, I'm sure we'll get into some of the challenges of book marketing, regardless of the genre. But there are certainly groups out there, Mike. If you decide you're going to dive in and write your great American novel, then go for it.
Yeah, I actually took the first step a couple months ago. I saw a book that, you know, about writing your first fictional novel, and I bought it. I haven't opened it since because I know it's such a different style of writing, and I know it's challenging. It can be done to make a decent side income, but. Anyway, Pauline, let's talk about book marketing, author websites. Now, I know you talk about author websites. I've gone through some of your examples. Do you distinguish between author websites and even book websites, like a book-specific website, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, the most important thing with any website is to get clear on what the purpose is. And as an author, we've spoken about there might be a type of author who really wants the books to be the main source of income and they're making a career from writing many, many books. And then there's the other type of author, probably more along the lines of the audience that you serve, Mike, where they have a successful business and the book is playing a supporting role. And so that's a crucial difference on the website. Be very clear about whether your book is the star of the show or whether your book is in the role of best supporting actor, almost.
Very good. So let's go down, Pauline, with the idea, like you said, business owners, entrepreneurs, CEOs, corporate leaders, whatever, who have a book, they're using it to differentiate themselves. Now, oftentimes for our clients, I'd say a good percentage, we will create a book-specific website for that book as part of typically a book funnel, right? So that's one type, but you're typically working with authors on either different types. I mean, you're not doing book funnels, are you? Are you going that deep?
No, my clients generally, quite different from that. We incorporate the book as part of their main website.
Yeah.
And something I'm a fan of, actually, is driving all your traffic to one website where people can see, within reason, the whole picture of what you do and the value you bring.
Yes.
Now, obviously, it's different in your case, Mike, if you wrote a completely different book that did not serve your main business, then you'd have to think about whether that belongs on a different site. But most of my authors, and especially if it's a case that the book is there to represent your expertise and serve as a business card, I almost always recommend that the book is part of the main website. And yes, if there's some kind of funnel activity there where we want people to download a free resource and therefore join the email list so that we can market to them some more, then yes, that's an important part of leveraging the book for sure.
Okay. So then I guess, and again, I'll just look for clarification. There are folks that already have a website, so you may be working with them with the idea of adding the book and information to that site. But then there's also folks that you're building full sites for. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. People come to me at both stages of that. Obviously, the folks who have an established business and a website, we talk then about how best to incorporate the book so that it can show their expertise and start to work hard for their business. And yeah, other times a new author takes this as the catalyst that it's time to get professional and get a website in place. And then yes, we tackle the whole thing in terms of, you know, is it the book that's the star of the show, or more likely what's the work or the service that the person is offering, and how does the book best support that?
So if we're talking a business owner, corporate leader who has his or her own website, it's been there for years, or maybe it's even their corporate site, their store, their consulting business, whatever it might be. Pauline, I'd love to hear some of the best practices, either best, tips or even things to avoid or both for that type of author when it comes to promoting his or her book on that existing website.
On the existing website. Yeah. So first of all, we're going to want to add the book as a page on the website, so the book has somewhere to live. But definitely we don't want it hidden only on its own page. Almost all of the other key pages on the website will need a refresh at that point. So the homepage should probably now say that you are not only excellent in your field, but you are excellent in your field and also the author of. Chances are your photos and images will need an update. Ideally, I'd like to see a photo of the business owner holding the book, but if not, then we definitely want the book to feature on the homepage. And then right the way through the other pages, so your services page, your bio page, if you're booking speaking engagements, your speaking page, these will all need a refresh, not necessarily a complete overhaul, but you'd be surprised how many places people need to go back and make some small updates once they are the proud published author of a book. And if I may take a breath and carry on, I'm a big believer, and Mike, I'm sure you teach this as well, that ideally we want something in your book that encourages people to come to your website, sign up for some kind of additional resource, so that they are then giving you permission to be on your email list and you can market to them. And I'm a fan of putting that on every page so it's easy to see that whatever your expertise is, whatever your free resource is that you offer, people can see that very easily and they don't miss the chance to sign up for further updates.
Is there any mistake, Pauline, that you've seen? I'm sure it's a loaded question because I'm sure you've seen a lot, but is there any big mistake that person who has an existing website makes that they shouldn't make, or should at least be aware of?
biggest, there are two types of website mistake. One is the strategic mistake of not being clear what the purpose is of your website and what the next action is that you want your visitor to take. So for many of the business owners that we're talking about here, chances are the next action is for someone to get in touch with you to discuss working together. So that might be giving you a call, filling out a contact form, scheduling a discussion. So if you miss out on the thinking of what should the visitor do next, then there's almost no chance that they'll do that thing because the website is not set up accordingly. And then the other big design blunder that I see, anyone who got started with a website more than about five to eight years ago is likely in need of a refresh in terms of design. So we know now that vast amounts of website traffic is coming through mobile devices. So it's essential that your website looks good on the small screen. But also a few things have changed in website design. Very few website designers now, if you create a website from scratch, there aren't many who will put a sidebar on the homepage. Now, maybe on like a shop page or a blog page, a sidebar is still useful. But on the homepage, that's almost always a dead giveaway to me that the site is older. And yeah, alongside that, it kind of goes with the same territory. Websites are changing and attention spans are getting shorter. So we definitely want to make much better use of images and good, clear photos and fewer words. Your audience is in a hurry. You need to be very concise with what you're telling them, what they need to know so that they get value from your website. Because I'm sorry to say, nobody has time to read three paragraphs before you get to the point of why you're there and what you do.
Right. It almost sounds like a commercial for a Shook, right? A short, helpful book. No one's going to read a whole book.
I mean, totally. The parallels are wonderful, yeah, with what you advocate for. Get to the point, be valuable, give good, concise information, show your expertise in a very easy to consume way. And I was going to say trust, but it's more than trust. You can then be completely confident that you've made your point so well that somebody will say, yep, I understand this. I get this person. I'm ready to work with you.
You know, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm reading a book right now. Now, it's a book about health. It's a health-oriented topic. So, and it's a big book. I'm reading the Kindle version, but I'm sure it's 300 or 400 pages. And it's a good book. It's well-written. But I'm already annoyed, Pauline, because I'm going off tangent here, but I'm already annoyed because I find the authors are repeating themselves. I just read that in the previous chapter, and I'm starting to like now think, okay, do I skip ahead, which I don't want to do. But I just think so many folks, you know, whether it's a book, a website, you know, they're conversation starters. I don't think they're meant to be encyclopedias or your life work. Now, maybe a blog is a little different, but I think you're spot on that this specific focus and then leading them to whatever that next step is critically important. You mentioned something, Pauline, I just want to get a little more insight on. Are you a fan? Because I did recently interview a gentleman who does, which I had not heard of before, but it makes sense. He does book trailer videos for authors. So he'll create a video of the author talking about the book. It's like a 2 to 3 minute video they put on their website. Are you a fan of using video in your author websites?
In general, yes. If it's concise and helpful and not just, you know, a kind of fluffy infomercial, then I think video is a great way of connecting. And some of your visitors will very much enjoy seeing that side of you and hear you talk about the book. Certainly, if you are hoping or intending to get booked as a speaker where you're visiting groups and sharing your expertise, then yeah, some video on there is a must have. Book trailers, I feel like they were a very fashionable thing a few years ago. I don't see them so much now in fiction, but for the business owners that we're talking about where you've got some expertise, you are the person that your client is likely to work with and you want to make that connection, yeah, a short video can be very helpful.
So you mentioned the other type of author that you help, which are the ones where they're essentially building a brand new site, I guess, from scratch. Pauline, are there any high-level tips or recommendations you would give that person?
The biggest way that people can go wrong when they're trying to build a site from scratch is biting off more than they can chew to begin with. So this almost feels like another tie into the Shook concept, that when you keep it small and manageable and you launch your website with just a few pages, then not only is that site more likely to go live, but you're more likely to get some business results this year instead of next year or even the year after. I do have authors come to me and they've heard that they should have a blog, they've heard that they should have this and that and the other, and they feel this terrible pressure to get everything in place on a brand new website. Whereas in fact, I tell them just launch with a few key pages and then feel good about that, start sharing it, start to build some traction, and you can always add on other items later if you've still got the energy and the enthusiasm.
Now, do you go as far, Pauline, with your clients as helping them with like SEO and trying to make sure there's, you know, this website can be found and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I certainly build SEO into my projects. One of my favorite phrases, however, is that Google is not your fairy godmother. So for most business owners, unless you have a very, very clearly defined niche in a very underserved area, SEO is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. So we want to put our best foot forward with some basics for SEO, but I would be doing my clients a disservice to then make any promises about landing up on page one of the Google results, or you can go off and take a nap and Google will just bring you clients. It's a longer, more committed process for most people to get strong SEO results.
Yeah, for sure.
But I still like to set the foundations. And yes, if somebody has a healthy appetite for blogging or a YouTube channel or something like that, then SEO has certainly been hugely helpful in my business. But it's not something that we can put in place in a few days and start to see the dollars roll in.
Right, right. Pauline, are there any other book marketing tips, whether it's website specific or anything else that you do to serve your clients, that our listeners would find helpful?
The biggest lesson for me, so we spoke at the beginning of our conversation about the first novel I wrote. That was actually 10 years ago now, and I've just crossed the point with Amazon where I've got 1,000 reviews for that book on
there.
So that's a wonderful achievement, but I want to stress that took 10 years, and I think many authors are incredibly excited and proud of the new book or the new Shook, quite rightly. And I don't think a lot of authors realize that this is a long commitment. It's going to take time. You need to stick with it to see results. So it's certainly a powerful, powerful tool to have a book. And one thing I love about the concept of a short book to show your expertise and promote your business is that tool has a lot of longevity. Yeah. Your publisher is not going to give up on you after the first 3 weeks if you haven't sold, you know, 10,000 copies by then. You're using that tool then as a more strategic thing to leverage instead of something that you're trying to hit the bestseller lists with. And I think for most authors, taking that long view and realizing that the book is a tool to grow the rest of your business, it's not the star of the show in its own right, that can be a super helpful mindset adjustment.
I 100% agree with you, Pauline. And it's, I always preach, it is a long-term play. And I say it often, writing and publishing a book is typically the easy part. If you really look at the continuum of, you know, doing stuff with your book years later, because, you know, if it's a well-written book that's timely and timeless, you know, like you said, it can have years of value to you, your business. And I find most folks, after the initial high of publishing it, they sort of wane. And, you know, it's really about that long-term vision. Like, hey, I got to be promoting this every day for years to come to the best of my ability. So thank you for that. And that's very cool. 1,000 reviews is not easy.
I was quite surprised to see it. But when I look back, I thought, well, yes, that has taken 10 years. So that's that's a good, it's a good result to share. But it's good for people to know the timeline of that as well. That's important, I think.
Well, very good. Well, Pauline, this has been great. I was looking forward to this because typically we, you know, have authors who've written a book that we talk about the book, but I brought you on because you have this expertise in helping authors. So if there's any authors that are listening to this and they want to get a hold of you, what is the best way to connect with you?
Yeah, so the best way, not surprisingly, my website, paulinewiles.com. And yeah, folks are welcome to visit. If you go to paulinewiles.com/author-factor, then you can download a free author website starter kit, which hopefully gets you through some of your initial questions and gets you past feeling overwhelmed.
Very good. Well, I appreciate that little gift for our listeners. And Pauline, it was nice to meet you, and I appreciate your time today.
Great talking to you, Mike. Thank you.
And to my listeners, thank you. And if you found this podcast helpful, please help me grow by sharing with your network and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, this is Mike Capuzzi.
Thank you for listening to the Author Factor Podcast. To learn more about Mike's unique short book publishing opportunities, please visit BiteSizedBooks.com.